Christmas is actually just a big radical disturbance, isn't it? It's crazy. Christmas is crazy, isn't it? We shop as if the shops are never going to be open again. You ever do that? I do that. I go around, you know, Sainsbury's with my trolley, filling stuff up as if like there's me like 6 months where there's nothing in the shops. I've just got to get everything because, you know, you just fill the thing up. And we spend money we don't have to buy things we don't need for people who will be unappreciative about the stuff that we bought them. Isn't Christmas weird? And then they'll just take them to the charity shops after Christmas or exchange them for gift vouchers or something like that. I read the other day that corporately, together as a nation, we are going to put on 25 million stone. Some of you more than others. It's crazy, isn't that crazy? That's like 5 to 6 pounds each when you're about to tuck into your third mince pie. This week, because it's now December, you can do that. Just think about that kind of statistic. And then we invite our dysfunctional family to sleep under the same roof as us over Christmas. And then wonder how this is going to play out well or not. And nobody knows when the council bin men are coming and what day it all changes. And the Christmas story is just radical disturbance, isn't it? It's kind of just this wise men get disturbed and start traveling. Shepherds get freaked out by angel choirs. Herod is disturbed and perturbed by what's going on in his world. And heaven itself is disturbed, interrupted. For 400 years, nothing had been heard from heaven. No prophet had risen, no voice, no input from God. And then it's like God interrupts himself in the most violent and beautiful and disturbing way. And Mary, probably the greatest disturbance of all, probably the greatest disturbance ever, Mary. And John's asked me to teach on this story and this song. And I need to give you a kind of health warning because what we're going to discover as we read the story is that our felt need is not always our greatest need. What we feel we need, I guess, this Christmas is peace. Lack of conflict, relational harmony, peace and goodwill to all men. What I want for Christmas is peace on earth. But what I need is a piece of heaven. What I want for Christmas is peace on earth, but what I need is the peace of heaven. And Mary's song and Mary's story is going to help us understand how the radical disturbance of God in our lives has an ability to bring peace, the peace of God, through our lives. And it's revolutionary and it's disturbing. And if you just, even today, allow this song to invade your heart and your life and embrace its message, then it probably will become the soundtrack of your life. It's a big statement, isn't it? If you allow this song today to invade your heart and your life, then it will probably become the soundtrack of your life. And it won't ruin your Christmas, but it might just ruin your life. It won't ruin your Christmas, you'll still have a great time, but it might just ruin your life because the ordinary things of this world will no longer interest you because your life and your song becomes attuned to the life and song of heaven, and the disturbance of God will come into your life and it will bring the peace of God all around your life. Now, I bigged it up enough. We better read it. You up for that? Why don't we stand for the reading of the Word of God? Let's read from Luke's Gospel in chapter 1, and I'm going to read from verse 26. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. the Lord is with you. Little does she know right now how with her the Lord is. Mary was greatly troubled at his word and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God." Always get suspicious when a warrior angel shows up in your bedroom and says, "Do not be afraid." Always be worried that when someone says, "Don't be afraid," you should actually be very afraid. "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you're to give him the name Jesus. He will be great, and he'll be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How would this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I'm a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God." Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who is said to be barren is in her sixth month, for nothing is impossible with God. "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left. And then verse 46, this is Mary's response. Here is Mary's song. And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the mighty one has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their innermost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but he has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but he has sent the rich away empty. He's helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, even as he said to our father." Thanks be to God for his word. Let's take a seat and let's pray. So, Holy Spirit, we invite you to come. Come, Holy Spirit. We are aware, Holy Spirit, of your presence already, but we would appropriate your presence for our lives. This is your word. Come speak to us. Come disturb us and encourage us. Come change our lives. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I wonder what you think about when you think about Mary. So I've got an image in my head. It's very simplistic, but it's blue dress. And just this kind of beautified, holy look on her face. You know, she's pondering all things in her heart. Do you ever get slightly annoyed with that phrase? Mary pondered these things in her heart. Yeah, she's got the radical disturbance of the world, and Mary just ponders these things in her heart. That's what I think about when I think about Mary. I think about this perfect virgin. A young teen, but do you ever think about a frightened 15-year-old? Do you ever think about a frightened 15-year-old having never had sex, being told by a warrior angel that she's pregnant? Can you get your head around that? This is Mary. This is the child you're bearing. It's okay, says the warrior angel. The child you're bearing is God's. You're going to give birth to God's son. Now that's disturbance, isn't it? The invasion of heaven to earth is going to happen through your womb. I mean, I sometimes think we don't get the magnitude of this stuff. The invasion of heaven to earth. Heaven is going to do something on earth. The most radical thing that heaven has ever done, and it's going to happen through your womb. You are going to carry the Son of God. And all that is spoken to a 15-year-old. She knew about tough times. She knew about Roman oppression. She knew about God not saying much for a long time. She knew about Herod's evil empire. And my guess is she just wanted to keep her head down and get through life. And then this angel shows up and rocks her world. Mary, you're going to carry God. And it disturbs everything. Utterly everything. Disturbs her privacy. Disturbs her body, her space. It's no longer just her own. Disturbs her life plans. She's pledged to be married to Joseph. She's betrothed. Betrothal was really, really significant back in the day. You spent about a year. It was almost as if you were married and you're planning the wedding. And those of you who are planning weddings or plan weddings, you know you're doing seating plans and who's going to sit next to whom. And we just mustn't put that person next to that person. And where should we get our wedding list and all this kind of stuff. But she's just looking forward to being Mr. Joseph. And Joseph is a significant figure in the town. He's kind of middle class. He's maybe a stonemason or a carpenter. We're not exactly sure, but he's significant. And she's just thinking about that, and then suddenly, boom, this is all blown out of shape because she's pregnant. It disturbs her life plans and it disturbs her neutrality. She can no longer just get on with her life and keep her head down and pretend that she's not significant because now she's bearing the Son of God. And the Son of God is going to establish a new kind of kingdom, a radical love-centered kingdom, which is going to change absolutely everything. And this teenager is spoken to by a warrior angel, and she doesn't grunt or go off in a huff or a hissy fit. And she doesn't say, it's not fair. Nobody else gets an angel, speak to them. None of my mates have got angels speaking to them. And she doesn't compare herself to anyone else's life. She just says this, let it be to me according to your will. And then she worships. That's the most radical miracle here. Obedient teenager. Just an incredible thing. But here's the thing. When Jesus comes into the world, he doesn't just come to a 15-year-old's womb. He doesn't just come to bring peace to her world, to the Jewish nation, or to the Roman world. He comes to bring light and peace and hope and joy to our world, to a VUCA world. He comes to bring transformation to your world. And here's the thing, he's going to disturb everything in us if we let him, because he wants to bring peace to everything around us. He's going to disturb everything in you because he wants to bring peace to everything around you. And his peace coming is going to bring radical disturbance. Are you with me? God was looking for a body back then, and he chose the womb of a 15-year-old girl. And he's looking for a body right now. He's looking for hands and feet and a mouthpiece. And here's the crazy, crazy thought, if you can stay with it just for a moment. You were perfectly designed by him to know him. Perfectly designed. God created you with a God responder mechanism in your heart and life. You were made to know him and you were made to walk with him. That's why you feel lack until you know him. That's why you're seeking until you find him. That's why there's a hole in your life until you fill it with him, until the fullness of him who fills everything in every way comes into your heart and life. But more than that, your life is perfectly designed by him to bear him, to carry him, to be the dwelling place of God, to be the temple of the Holy Spirit, to represent him to the world. God is looking for a body who will not worry in the disturbance, but will worship through the disturbance. God is looking for a body. And Mary's story tells us this, you can't bear the child without knowing disturbance. You just can't. You can't bear the Son of God without knowing. It will disturb everything in you. You will no longer be satisfied with superficiality. You will no longer be satisfied with consumerism or individualism. You'll no longer be satisfied with materialism. You will no longer be satisfied with the stuff of this world because you're carrying the Savior of the world. You'll no longer be satisfied with superficial peace. You'll want your life to be disturbed so that everything around you might become the peace of God, which changes everything. It will ruin you for private faith. It will. If God visits you and changes your life, it'll ruin you for private faith. It can't just be about you and Jesus and Jesus and you and nobody else needs to know. Because that's not what the Savior of the world does. When you're pregnant with the Savior of the world, it's going to show. It's going to show. You can't hide your pregnancy. You can't hide carrying the Savior of the world. It's going to show. It will disturb your privacy. And it will disturb your neutrality. You can't just keep your head down and get through this life. I'll tell you why. Because when you're visited by God, when he invades your heart and life, what begins to happen is you begin to see things the way he sees things. So he's going to give you his eyes to see what he sees. And when you see things the way he sees things, you'll start to feel things the way he feels things. And when you feel things the way he feels things, you'll start to act the way he wants you to act in this world. And it will ruin everything for you because you can no longer just be neutral and keep your head down and get through this life. Because when you're pregnant with the Savior of the world, it's inconvenient. And it shows. It'll ruin your life plans. It just will. It'll just ruin your life plans. You can't go through life saying, God, I'm going to do this. I'm going to go to this place. I'm going to go here and make these plans. And God, will you just come with your divine rubber stamp and just rubber stamp my plans and say, that's okay. I endorse everything that you want to do. Because God's got a better plan for your life. And it involves the disturbance of your life so that there might be peace around your life. It involves the disturbance of your life so there might be peace around your life. God, listen, God is not trying to ruin your life. He's trying to make your life. God is trying to get your attention to invite you into his life. He's saying, look, guys, I made you, I created you. You're perfectly formed for me, and I've got a better plan than the plan that you've got. So if the instinct is go plant a church, then go do it. If the instinct is go foster some kids, then go do it because that was placed in there by God. If the instinct is get generous, open your house and open your home and open your wallet and open your lives, then go do it. If the instinct is serve the poor, go serve the poor because that's the disturbance of God which will disturb you and then bring peace all around you. Because when the Savior of the world invades, he'll ruin your life plans. And he'll ruin your neutrality. And he'll ruin your privacy. But it will cause you to sing. It will give you a life song. It'll cause a song to rise up in you like Mary's song. It'll cause a prophetic song, a prophetic melody of heaven to come up from within your life that will be sung to everyone around your life. And your life will scream this song. Because it will just come out of you and you will not worry, but you will worship. And people will be infected by the worship of your life because you have allowed the invasion of heaven into your life. And you said, God, I'm willing to trade my comfort and my neutrality and my privacy for your plans and your peace. Let's just check out this song. Let me tell you what you'll sing. Look at verse 50 onwards. Mary says, this is the song. God loves the underdog. That's the song that will come out of your life. God loves the underdog. Mary says, why me? Why did you choose me? I'm lowly and humble, and I'm just a 15-year-old kid in a small backwater town waiting to get married. I'm not important or significant. Why me? Mary just stands before the Lord like you do. Flawed and needy, with nothing to merit his favor. But God loves the underdog and God loves the disqualified. And God loves the unimpressive. God loves the people that are sitting, you who are sitting there right now going, not me, it can't be me, because I know me and the things that I have done, and other people know me and the things that I have done, and the things that I do, and my addiction, and my problem, and my issue, and my sin, and my pain. And God almost certainly is calling you right now to get involved in his purposes, because God loves to do that. The ones who say, I'm unqualified and disqualified, God takes them and he uses them to bring peace in this world. God loves the underdog. Look at verse 51. God changes everything. He's in the business of turning the whole world upside down. This will be your song. Your song will be, God is changing everything. He's rescuing the helpless. He's scattering the proud. He's making the world right again. He's turning everything upside down. Guys, listen, when you read your newspaper and when you turn on the BBC, you have every right to feel anxious. But you don't need to be anxious. You have every right to feel anxious, but you don't need to be anxious, because we have a God who is turning everything upside down. We have a God who still sits on the throne. He's still conscious, active head over all things. He's still in the business of the transformation, the restoration of everything, and he's making this world right again. That thing that you're thinking about right now, a financial issue, that relational issue, that career issue, he's got it. He knows it, and he's got it. And he loves you, and he's for you, and he's got a better plan. Listen, this is Mary's song. If you're caught up on the wrong side of the value systems of this world, if you're sitting here today and you feel like you got spat out and you got dealt a crummy hand, this is a song for you. Bring your case before God. Political leaders cannot help you ultimately. Neither can political parties or political philosophies. But he can. Because he knows it. And he can deal with it. And he's setting the world right again. He's not fazed by it. He's not defeated by it. He wants to heal it, restore it, and forgive it. This is the song. This is the song that's going to come out of your life. God is a God who will exalt the humble. Verse 52. He's doing a really cool thing. He's turning everything on his head. He's going to exalt the humble and he's going to bring down the proud. If that's true, people, reverse your ambitions. Reverse your ambitions. Set your life to acquiring less. See what I'm saying? Because he's flipping the whole deal. He's flipping the whole deal. Set your life to simplicity and generosity and stewardship. Take the back seat and the last place. Raise other people up. Prefer them, because God's in the business of flipping the whole thing. This is the song that will come out of your life, not just out of your mouth. If you say, God, I'm open to the disturbance of heaven. I want to see the peace of God, the radical peace of God come. He will fill the hungry. Verse 53, this hope is for people who feel their own emptiness. This is God. This is the God that we worship. This is the God that we sing songs to. This God loves the forgotten and the passed over. It might be you. This is the God who pledges himself to those who know that they're nobodies and losers. This is the God who shows mercy to those who don't deserve it. This is the God who loves the addicts. This is the God who loves the humble, approves the humble over the proud. This is the God who fills the hungry with good things. This is the God who keeps his promises. Verse 54 and 55, look at that. He remembers, says Mary, he remembers. He remembers. And then she starts to refer to the prophecy to Abraham 1900 years before and says, we have been waiting as a nation for 1900 years for Christmas. You think your kids are getting impatient? 1900 years! We've been waiting for Christmas, but God remembers his promise, and here is the fulfillment of his promise. Listen, Trump is not going to be able to do half the things he says he's going to do. Trust me. And Brexit may not do many of the things we fear it will do, trust me. And Putin may not do some of the things we worry he threatens to do, trust me. But God will do what he said he will do. His kingdom subverts and overrules every earthly kingdom, and he keeps his promises to you. He will keep you, he will save you, he will return for you. You can bank on God. Christmas is the fulfillment of the promises of God. I'm sure some of the people of God were going, we're not even sure God exists anymore. 400 years he said nothing. We're not even sure that God's going to come through in his promises. And then there's an angel visitation. And then there's a star. And then there are some wise men. And then there is a choir in the sky. And then there is a teaching of a Messiah. And then there is a crucifixion of God. And then there is a resurrection from the dead. And suddenly everything is available and possible. Because hope has come, and life has come, and joy has come, and you don't need to be anxious. Although you feel anxious in this world, God changes everything. And the song of your life, if you allow the disturbance of God to come in, and you can stop it. You can say, no, I wanna be neutral. I wanna be private. And I wanna stick with my life plans. And God, because he's not a bully, will respect your choices. But if you allow the disturbance of God to come, if you allow the Spirit of God to invade you, if you say, God, all bets are off, I'm open to your disturbance, I don't wanna be neutral anymore, I'm all in, then this song will rise up. And this song will be a song that flows out of your life. And the peace of God, the radical, disturbing peace of God will permeate every place where you walk and every house that you live and every place that you work. Because this is the way you bear the Christ into this world. And you will be ruined for the limitations of the ordinary. You'll be ruined for the normal life. Let me tell you about Andy just before we close. Andy's a guy in the church that I lead in Edinburgh. Andy was the boyfriend. One of our young girls was a worship leader in our church, and she got into a difficult situation and ended up sleeping with a guy who was a leader of a band, lead singer in a band. In Edinburgh, he wasn't at all interested in God, and she got pregnant, and it was a bit of a mess, really. But she kind of did this deal with him that if they were going to stay together, he needed to show up in church, so he did. He used to show up right up there somewhere, right at the back, and he would look at me as if he hated everything about me. As if he wanted to kill me. It was kind of, you know, all the way through the whole deal, and this was like 8 years ago, and I had a number of chats with him. He had some issues with drugs, and he had some issues with anger, some significant issues with anger and violence, and it was just no good at all, and it was a really hard situation, but he would show up week after week. Just, he didn't get any better. He just looked like he hated me the whole time. She got pregnant again. They got two kids. They're not married. They're still around the church community, and then they get into some financial difficulties. Some significant financial difficulties, and they call on our CAP ministry, Christians Against Poverty ministry, and they get some real help there, and then they get invited to a weekend. He didn't know what he was going to. He thought he was just getting a free weekend in the country, and God like hijacked him and invaded his life so radically. I have never seen anything like it. The guy has changed. I don't just mean internally, I mean physically. He is not the same person. If I gave you two pictures of Andy before and after, you would say that's not the same guy. A guy whose face was contorted with suspicion, cynicism, and anger now has a face that looks like Jesus. I kid you not. He beams. Why? Because he allowed the disturbance and the invasion of God into his life, and it changed absolutely everything. He can't help tell people about Jesus. He can't get away from it because actually he beams, and people don't know what's going on with him. He used to sit up there. He now sits here. He takes notes of everything I say, and all the way through my sermon says, that's good, Carl. That's really good, Carl. Come on, Carl. It's slightly annoying, but we'll forgive him. We'll forgive him around that stuff. A few weeks ago, we dedicated both their children he got dedicated, and he was dedicating his children in shorts, because then we then got in a baptismal pool and baptized him. In a month's time, we're going to marry them, because that's probably a good thing to do for them. But God, this is the God who rescues people. This is the song of your life. The God is the rescuer. The God is the one who transforms everything. The God is the one who lifts up the humble, who opposes the proud, who sets this place right again. And God wants to bring disturbance in your life, not because he doesn't like you or because he wants to ruin you or upset you, but because he wants to bring the peace of God all around your life. And that's going to cause radical disturbance, because you have to make a choice. And the choice is, do I want to stand on the rights of my neutrality? Do I want to stand on the rights of my privacy? Do I want to stand on my life plans? Or do I want to surrender them all to the life plans of a God who loves me and has a plan for my life and everyone around my life? The weird thing is, when you say yes, you begin to sing a song. And the peace of God breaks out. I tell you why. Because what you do when you say yes is you align yourself with the rescuer and the feeder and the lifter and the savior of the world. And you become right in the center of his repair job for this city. You become peace. Because when you walk with the source of wisdom, you become wise. When you walk with the source of love, you live love. When you walk with the source of purpose, you start to walk purposefully. When you walk with the source of grace, you start to live gracefully. When you walk with the way, you can't help but show the way. When you walk with the founder of hope, you become a hope for a hopeless world, which is desperately in need, because it's VUCA and it's disturbing. It's disturbing because when you're pregnant with the Savior of the world, it's going to show. I'm sorry for the language. Some of you don't like that, but that's the reality. It's disturbing because when you're pregnant with the Savior of the world, it's going to show. It's disturbing because when you're pregnant with the Savior of the world, it's going to be just inconvenient. But when you allow the disturbance to come, people will be loved. Schools will be served. The homeless will be found shelter because we open our buildings. The hungry will be fed because we buy shortbread. The debt will be helped because the CAP ministry is brilliant. And the kids will be fostered because we say, it is not good enough. The kids of this city are still in care when the people of God have space in their lives. That's what we speak. And it's not because a preacher gets all hyper, it's because the Spirit of God invades our hearts and lives and breaks our hearts for the things that God breaks, heart breaks for. And this is Mary's response. Check this out. Let it be to me according to your will. Let it be to me according to your will. The most disturbing thing that could ever happen to any human being. I defy you to think of a more disturbing thing. God is invading your womb for the world. And Mary's response is, let it be to me according to your will. I tell you why. Because she's doing this. She's saying, I am willing to do that deal. I'm willing to do that deal. My comfort, my neutrality, my life plans, my privacy. I'm willing to deal with that stuff. Because God is bringing his peace to bear in this world. And he's rescuing the helpless. And he's exalting the humble. And he's filling the hungry. And he's backing the underdog. And he's changing everything. I'm going to take those odds. And I'm going to do that deal. Let it be to me according to your will. I'm going to worship. Bring on the song. Bring on the song. Bring on the song in my life. Bring on the song through my life. I'm going to do that deal. I'll do that deal. I know it's going to disturb everything, but I'll do that deal. And the same God who shows up 2,000 years ago is here. And he speaks into disturbance, and and he disturbs. And he says, Carl, John, Jill, Bob, greetings. You who are highly favored. The Lord is with you. The Lord is with you. Here comes peace. Brace yourself. Here comes peace. And the thing is, the Spirit of God will never invade like an aggressive dictator. He will only knock like an invited guest. And he says, do you want to do this deal? Are you willing to trade this for this? Because if you are, then I'm going to give you a song.